And this is Ecologic. I'm Bernie Steffen. This is, I think, my seventh show here, and I love doing it. And every other Monday on the odd weeks, where Monday is an odd week, you can tune in at 11, and we have real local community talk. So I hear people often talk about what we should say, but I never hear as much about why so many people don't say it at all. Having a voice can be freeing. It's not just about speaking. It's also about confidence, clarity, and a willingness or even a desire to be heard. And that doesn't just shape the individual. It shapes community. So today, we're exploring that connection between voice, confidence, and community. And I have a very special guest, Renee Hawk, my friend, president of Toast of Petaluma, a local club helping people find and use their voice. Now, Renee is also an area director, supporting several clubs in the area. She also was a member of a second club that was a corporate club that I don't know too much about, but maybe we'll have time for Renee to talk about that as well. So Renee, so glad you're here.
Thank
Welcome.
You.
Welcome. Oh.
Thank you for inviting me.
And this is your first time and you're already helping me, so thank you. I forgot to pull the lever up. Very good. So how does it feel being on the radio?
So far, not as scary as I thought. Thank you for calming me down in advance.
Oh, great, great. Well, let me ask, how did Toastmasters first come into your life, Renee?
Oh, that's funny. Gosh, when I was in my 20s, I would say, somebody came into the store where I was working. I was in retail sales, and she suggested I go to a Toastmasters meeting. I drove by that building and did not see any cars. I was probably driving by on the wrong day and decided not to try again. Then about another 10 years later, somebody else in another state where I was living in Pennsylvania suggested Toastmasters to me. Still, I never went. And then it was at my workplace. There's a whole nother story on that, but I'll tell you quickly.
Yes, tell it. Yeah, okay. I'd like to hear about that because I've never been to one of those meetings. I have no idea.
Oh, a business meeting at work?
No, I mean a Toastmasters club within a company. Is that what you were talking about?
No, actually.
Oh, okay.
This
I'm
is
sorry.
Still on how I was introduced
I see.
To
okay.
Toastmasters. So
okay.
Now at this point in my life, 20 years after I first heard about it,
yeah,
it's in my head. I've heard of Toastmasters now, but never went. So my boss gave me an opportunity to speak to her organization within the company. So that was about 150 people, 80 people in the room, video conferenced across the world. I was terrified. I was shaking. The paper was rattling in my hands. My heart was pounding and throbbing my head. I thought, truly thought, that I was going to self-combust. I really thought.
You're not alone in that feeling, by the way.
Right.
Yeah.
So, a couple weeks later was my performance review. We're sitting down. She's a senior vice president, and she's talking about my job, how I've been doing a good job. And she's holding her pen and asks me, because she takes good notes, asks me, in what area would you like to improve? And the word Toastmasters spilled out of my mouth, and then I wondered who said that. So she wrote it down. I didn't have to, but that's what led me to look it up and find a club nearby. So that's how I got started in it.
Wow.
And my first club was, in fact, Toast of Petaluma.
Cool, cool. So I like that you have all that experience and you're giving back to the organization in many ways, and we'll get more into that. But let me ask you a sort of a I don't know, out of the blue question.
Okay.
What is, in for many people, the favorite part of a Toastmasters meeting?
Probably the one that gets people most involved is what we call table topics. It's impromptu speaking. You get up and somebody tells you to talk about something that you didn't know in advance. You have a few seconds to think about it and then answer.
Yeah, yeah. It's like improv, instant improv, right?
Kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of.
And then is it timed?
Yes. You have 1 to 2 minutes to develop kind of a mini speech, have an introduction, some supporting information or stories, and then a conclusion. So it's a challenge. It's not quite improv. It's impromptu. Yeah.
Would you be willing to model that here on the radio show?
It is one of my least favorite parts because it gets me nervous and I feel like my mind blanks. But yes.
How about you asking the question of me?
Oh, yeah. Questions of you are fun, too.
Yeah. Yeah, so the theme for the meeting, and we always have a theme for our meetings, and we try to make the questions sort of relate to the theme, right?
Yes.
It's voice, confidence, community. Please ask me a question.
Voice. Oh, so now I'm on the spot. I need to ask you something about voice.
Well, ask me a question, any question that is related even remotely to that topic.
So here's something interesting. You came to Toast of Petaluma, and I know you had some ideas in mind that you wanted to let others know. So how was that experience for you?
Yeah, it was sort of the latest of a series of where I had a message that, you know, I'm 78 years old now. When I was about 60 is when I first started becoming aware of climate change, and I became an activist, and I did a radio show in West Marin, and I helped pass Marin Clean Energy in Marin County, and was knocking on doors, doing protests with signs. I was the Marin County coordinator for MoveOn.org, and so I had a lot of No Kings rallies in my past. I didn't go this time. So what I always had, though, was a passion to want to raise the awareness to other people who didn't seem to be as stressed about where we were headed and what was happening. So my urgency kept going up, but my ability to communicate to people was never there. I, you know, had lots of reasons, but I tried different things. I tried writing. I did the radio show for 7 years. I did stand-up comedy classes. I tried twice. I failed. I wasn't any good at it.
For trying.
And I came to Toastmasters. Part of the reason was I knew that was a place for learning how to be more effective in communicating your message. So I had already gotten over my shyness that often stops people from going. Mm-hmm. But I was definitely not hitting the mark at whatever audience I was with, getting them to hear what I had to say. Because I could mentally see that X of their folded arms, even if they weren't doing it, that body language
absolutely
comes through.
Yeah.
Or my wife is in the room and says, let's not talk about that. Because she knows what's coming. You know, so I've become very radical, and I want to sound an alarm, but people aren't ready for an alarm and not a radical one. So that's sort of my path to Toastmasters. And I had started with a couple of the clubs, but I quickly realized that was not a forum for giving speeches, for getting people to consider things. It was a forum for practicing speeches, developing better speeches. And that's what I did. Now, what was the next step? Get on the air. And here I am.
Well, you know what I want to say to you is that, and I think this is not a surprise to you. You know it. When you first started delivering speeches at Toast of Petaluma, I was one of those people with the crossed arms. I looked around and people were sitting back and not wanting to hear you because you were so radical, because you were angry, actually.
Passionate.
Okay, passionate. But what has happened with the feedback you've gotten, I can tell you listen, you pay attention, you incorporate it, and your speeches are still communicating the same thing that you want to communicate, but it's more approachable. It's easier to hear and for me as an audience member to digest.
Well, thank you for that. And I thank you and other members of the club because let me talk about two of these. Maybe you'll talk about one. What's something we do right after when someone's done a prepared speech of 5 to 7 minutes? We take 2 minutes to do what?
To write notes, to make suggestions, and also talk about write down what we liked that you did and what we suggest you might try.
Yeah, and those are effective. Sometimes I take them home and, you know, read them once and sort them or whatever.
Yeah,
read them
too.
Again. And some I may not even like, but I'm hearing them.
Right.
So they're effective. Well, there's another effective step that Tosta Petaluma did that I was not familiar with. And that was, I think it was Saturdays at Pete's.
Oh, yeah.
From like 10 in the morning to supposed to be till noon. And we sometimes went to 1 or 1:30 because there were members coming there. Senior members were leading it. You and Ray Egan. And I was enthralled with the knowledge that was offered there. So the idea was I could come with a raw idea, and then Ray would say, well, you can't start like that, or you got to do this, or you got to hit him first. And I was listening. I was taking notes. I was, and working on my speeches. And then I had the problem of I couldn't memorize. And when I was looking at my paper, it wasn't good. So it was a struggle, but it was a struggle I wanted to have because I could see at the end of that, I would be more effective, and that's what my goal was. So
right.
You at Tosta Petaluma, along with two other clubs that I want to mention at some point here in the area that I went to that also moved me on my journey. So it's like each club has different times, different hours, different culture, but they're like cultures. And so I'm exposing myself to as much of that as I can. And today I'm hoping to expose it to more of the listening public, the three of you out there listening. Actually, listeners, I'm talking to you now. If you're listening and have been a part of Toastmasters or are a part of Toastmasters, we'd love to hear from you because more voices on your experience, what you loved or hated or whatever, get on the air with us and let's have a conversation. So the number here is 707-755-9250. I'm going to repeat that. But pause till you get your pencil or pen, please, or your thumbs on your iPhone on the notepad. 707-755-9250. I love call-ins, and Renee and I would love to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't have to be from Tosta Petaluma, but if there's any Toasties from Petaluma, we expect you to call. This might be your next step. Like Renee has taken her first step on being a guest on the air.
On radio.
You could take your first step as being on the radio with a phone line. So please call in. At this moment, let me turn to thanking our underwriters.
COWS Radio thanks Community Market of Sebastopol for their ongoing support. Community Market is a worker-run natural food store providing our community with organic food products since 1975. Located at the Barlow, 6762 Sebastopol Avenue in Sebastopol, you can reach them by phone at area code 707-407-4020.
We thank Mac Daddy Repairs for their ongoing support. They are a West County computer and phone repair center featuring on-site and remote support. They're located at 301 North Main Street in Sebastopol and can be reached by email at support@macdaddyrepairs.com or by phone at 707-861-9403.
So this is Bernie Steffen, and I'm back with Ecologic and our guest, Renee Hawk, who is president of Toasta Petaluma and much more. So we've been talking how Toastmasters has opportunities that people can take advantage of. Do you think Toastmasters is sometimes misunderstood?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think I recommend that people visit, and there's no obligation to do anything else but be an audience. I think people are afraid to visit because they're afraid they're going to be forced to speak. But I think when someone visits, if they say, I don't want to say anything today, I just want to observe.
Yeah.
Hopefully the club members will respect that.
Well, I want to call you out as our president. First, the meeting is started by the sergeant at arms who helped set up the place, is in charge of setting up and preparing, and then gets everybody to quiet down. And she introduces Renee, our president. And Renee, one of the things you do is introduce the guests.
Right.
And what do you ask them to say?
Well, it could vary, but I usually ask them what inspired them to come to the meeting. And guests, even though I just said are not required to speak, they usually are willing to say that. And if I have the time before the meeting, I usually prepare the guest that I will ask them a question, and I just want one sentence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if I'm the table topics master, I also will go to them and explain, do you know what table topics is, and say, do you mind if I call you? And most of the time, our Toastmasters are asking the guest, would they like to come up? If they say no, no pressure. But many are. And, you know, many of them are amazing.
Yeah.
The first time.
You know, it's funny. I'm thinking about the fact that we're not only speaking to Toastmasters right now on the radio. And so our language is sort of jargon. So we use the word Toastmaster as an individual person who is a member of a Toastmasters club. That could be a Toastmaster. Bernie, you and I are Toastmasters. It could be the person who is the MC at the meeting.
Yes.
So that's the Toastmaster of the day. All right, we've got a call, right?
We do have a call. Hello? Oh, you're on the air. Let me get your lever up here. You're on Cows Radio. Who's calling, please?
This is Jeff. Hello, Bernie, and hello, Renee.
Hey, Jeff. You're our...
people out in Radio Land. I'm also a member of Toasta Petaluma.
Yay.
Fantastic, yeah.
And I just wanted to call in and tell people who are not familiar with Toastmasters that it is the most welcoming organization I've ever belonged to, I believe. People really want you to succeed. So it's not a competitive organization. It's really tailored towards helping each individual meet whatever goals they have. It may be, actually, I've heard it said that Toastmasters is for three types of people. One, the first person is people who are terrified of speaking in public.
Yep.
And they want to overcome that fear. And the second is for people who are relatively comfortable speaking in public, but they want to get better. And the third type of person is for somebody who is very comfortable speaking in public and they want to keep in shape.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, Jeff, because I think of you in the latter category.
Yeah.
You're very accomplished and very confident on stage and always are pertinent to the topic and stuff. So,
it's been a journey, I started with Toastmasters in Marin in 1984.
Oh.
At that time, I had met a woman who became my wife, now my late wife. And I can tell you, she was one of the people who was terrified of opening her mouth in public if there were more than three people in the room.
Yeah.
She had just returned from England. She was an expat there for a while, and she came back, and she said in England, her American accent, she was very self-conscious. Heads would swivel in the small town she lived in, and she quickly clammed up. So when I met her, she was very, you know, most people would have said she was introverted. She just did not like speaking in public. And over the course of less than a year, she became the club president and really loosened up and really enjoyed.
Wow. That's quite a journey.
Yeah, it was quite a journey, quite a transformation. So I've seen it with my own eyes. Somebody who was terrified of speaking in public, and in this case, public was three or four people, to someone who was able to take control of a meeting and run it efficiently and run the club efficiently. So,
yeah, I'm so glad that you mentioned that supportiveness. I feel that too. And when we talk about Toast of Petaluma, one of the ways I describe that culture is it's quite sort of liberal. It allows a lot. One time, a woman gave a prepared speech where she didn't talk at all.
Right.
She did it with music, with bells, and asked us to close our eyes. So the openness to be that creative really appealed to me.
What did you say, Jeff?
I hear some music playing in the background. I don't know if I'm just hearing that or other people are.
I think you were. Thank you. You're not only helping me show what being a listener is, you're helping me on the boards here. So next time you'll have to come in. No, thank you very much for mentioning that.
Did the music stop?
Just one other point. You just said something with the word liberal in it, and I want to commend the club and assure people who may be thinking about attending that our club is a safe space from politics. it's very rare, if ever, that I've heard anything controversial which may turn off one faction or another. So don't let that dissuade you. It's not a forum for airing our pet peeves in terms of the world situation if we're coming from one side or the other.
Right. And if somebody wanted to, we learn how to be, I can't think of another word, but approachable, so that if I'm going to present something that's controversial, I have to think about my audience and their perspective and what would they be thinking that they'd argue with me, and I should calmly address that. Yeah, it sounds like, are you hearing feedback, Jeff? There's a pause.
Well, Jeff, I'm hearing music.
Okay, you're still hearing music.
But I just tuned into the radio over the internet, and I didn't hear the music. So it seems to me it's just me on the phone. But
it may be user error on my part. I'm still pretty new at this, and I've had several fumbles, so I'm adding this to the list, but I hope it's better now.
Well, I'll let you get back to the program, but I appreciate both of you very much, Renee, for appearing on the show, and Bernie for hosting it. It's always interesting, and I've called in a number of times, and I just want to say I encourage anybody else there out in Cowes Radio Land to take a chance, pick up the phone.
Thank you.
Thanks for the promo.
You're welcome.
Can I thank
I'll
you?
See you at the next meeting.
Yeah. Before you go, Jeff, I want to say I appreciate you, and I think Renee does too, because of how much you care and how supportive you are. When you come to the meeting, you add to that supportive layer that helps people ultimately try something that they're uncomfortable with, gain experience, and then gain confidence. So thank you for helping.
I appreciate that. Perhaps you know my motto that I try and live by, be the change you want to see.
Good.
It's not contribution to the club is minimal in the sense that everybody in that club really contributes such a range of positive feedback and support to every member, whether they're a longtime member or a guest, that it's really wonderful to see.
Well, thank
you. I encourage everyone to mark it on their calendar. You won't find a more welcoming club, in my opinion.
All righty. Later. Bye, Jeff.
Okay. Take care.
Thank you.
So now the line is free. We only have one line here. And if you tried while Jeff was on the phone, you would have gotten busy. But if you're thinking of calling, the number is 707-755-9250.
Jeff said something that reminded me. We've had several people come to Toast of Petaluma and probably any Toastmasters Club because they recognize they had an accent that other people were having a hard time understanding what they were saying. And I've heard people improve the way that they enunciate and therefore become easier to understand.
I've noticed that too. I mean, I enjoy watching people over time, as Jeff is talking about. Yeah. We watch them gain some skills, and the feedback, as you said, I've got a lot of, and I appreciate it. Sometimes it's hard to hear, but you know, you take it all and you do what you can. And so that has really inspired me in many, many ways. I wanted to ask you, Renee, do you recall some stories of some members who you watched go through a blossoming and then even had a sort of a win outside of Toastmasters, maybe in their career or in their life?
Oh, yes, yes. There's a current member who told us that he's been promoted recently. He's got more responsibility. He's now in a leadership position. And he credits his membership and his involvement and experience with Toastmasters, with Toast of Petaluma.
Yeah.
He was we have kind of an old language for the leaders in the club. President is a common one. Sergeant at arms is kind of a military one. He was, I can't remember which kind of officer he was, but he was a leader in the club. He might have been secretary, VP membership, but he said that what he had learned in Toast of Petaluma and Toastmasters had played into him getting a promotion.
Fantastic.
And I've got my own stories.
Well, let's hear your story, because you're in corporate land and you had this terrifying upcoming event. How did that all work out?
Well, that's right. That's a good lead-in. That same employer and that same boss, a year or two later, after I had been in, I actually started a club at that company. Am I allowed to say?
Of course.
Was called Fair Isaac Corporation at the time. Fair Isaac and Company.
They were about credit scores.
That's right.
Yeah.
And now they're more commonly known as being FICO.
Okay.
So I worked in the scoring department, which was 60% of the company's revenue.
Okay.
So it's important. And my boss was the senior vice president of scoring. And so she was important. She told me when she gave me a promotion, that my experience in Toastmasters had played into my promotion. She could see I was her executive assistant, which is not somebody you normally think of as a public speaker, but I also had a group of administrative assistants that I supervised. And my boss told me that she could see the improvement in how I supervised my staff based on what I had learned in Toastmasters. So I got that promotion at that company.
Fantastic. Yeah. I didn't know you had created that Toastmasters group within that company.
I did. It's not
that's
in existence.
That's a model, anymore, though, yeah, that still exists in some other companies.
That's
and,
right.
And I think it's a smart idea. And I guess it's a case where the employer feels like this is worth their investment to have their employees become more vocal and voice their opinions and
communicate
confident.
Better.
Communicate
right.
better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, no, nowadays they get rid of everybody and just get an AI.
Well, it's Toastmasters in the corporate level is a very inexpensive tool to improve your employees' but also just their skills and their ability to communicate effectively.
Yeah, and I'm struck by, we've touched on the meeting a little bit, but there are a number of roles that people sign up for the meeting.
Right.
So on the one hand, there are like six officers that Renee was talking about that have an executive committee, and they make all the important decisions and, you know, schedule out and special events. And, you know, they all have roles to play that serve the members.
Right.
Then at a given meeting, you are encouraged to sign up for a role. Let's talk about some of those roles.
Okay.
So we have a general evaluator. They
right.
get up and what do they say, roughly?
Well, they evaluate what is not otherwise evaluated. So let's kind of go down the order that our club meetings normally.
So they right? introduce, or they don't do that in this club. I'm used to them introducing the timer and the awk counter. Sorry.
Well, they do yeah. at the end of the meeting at
yeah.
our,
yeah.
They can.
Yeah.
So there's the one we call the Toastmaster.
Yeah.
And they are like the MC.
Yeah.
The Toastmaster, the MC, introduces prepared speeches. So delivering a prepared speech is another role in the meeting. And every role is different at every meeting, unless you're an officer. You're an officer in our club for a whole year. So then you're a prepared speaker. You deliver your speech at whatever length and following the guidance of the educational program. Toastmasters has an educational program. We'll get back to that probably. And then the way our meeting runs is we have table topics after the prepared speeches. And table topics, as a reminder, are those impromptu speeches where someone is the table topics master. And they're sort of like a sub-toastmaster. They're
yeah,
like a
yeah.
MC of their own portion of the meeting. And they deliver a prompt to people who are willing to do a table topic, an impromptu speech. And then what really is unique about Toastmasters is that every prepared speech gets immediate feedback. So that is delivered by an evaluator, a speech evaluator. And that speech evaluator has a leadership position in a way because they have listened to the prepared speech, made notes, and now they need to present. And they present a speech evaluation about the speech, not the person.
Right.
And that evaluation delivers feedback on what the evaluator thought was really effective and what the evaluator thinks might be a good suggestion to try or to improve the speech.
Yeah, I was afraid of taking that role for the
yes.
longest time because I didn't want to sort of be on the hook for publicly standing out front and saying, what I liked about your speech, what I didn't trust myself. Mm. But after a while, I felt I had to do it. And what I like at Tosta Petaluma in particular, well, it's more relaxed. There isn't a formula. It's not expected that you follow it in this is what you say. I got three things I'm going to tell you that I liked, and then I'm going to tell you about it. And then at the end, and thanking the Toastmasters and all that. So there is kind of a traditional role, but the innovative, more relaxed style here finally got me up there, and people said, you can just say what you're thinking. Because sometimes for me, following the structure of a form is a little bit, I don't know,
off-putting
or whatever. Or I have my own way of taking some notes when people are talking, but now I'm less afraid to do that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
The one of the things I like about the way we learn to do a speech evaluation is really effective as management, and that is not to say, here's what you did wrong, but to say a suggestion. Here's what you can do to be even more effective.
Yeah. And that's usually after you've given three attaboys before you give one suggestion.
Yeah.
You don't go heavy on the suggestions. You don't start with a suggestion. You really are in that mood of wanting to support that person, point out the highlights, what they can be really proud of, and here's one small thing that would make it even better.
Right, right.
So that approach, I think, really does work. I had taken Dale Carnegie when I was younger in corporate, and he said there's no such thing as criticism that, or people don't want to hear it or whatever. It doesn't work. Criticism doesn't work. And I understand that, because if you start in a certain way, the defenses go up.
Right.
And there's no way you can
sort of
let that through. You draw a blank, et cetera. So I was a little leery of the evaluator, but I like the way the focus on the evaluation is, both in terms of the little love notes that we send in, you know, that we take 2 minutes to write up and put in a basket and the person takes home. And then the formal evaluator who stands in front of the room and goes through their analysis of it. And that in itself is a speaking up. Opportunity,
right?
Because we actually have a little tag to fill out who gave the best evaluation,
right?
And then we also have who gave the best table topic,
right?
And then we have a thing called a Sparky. What's a Sparky?
Oh, that's a fun thing. One person suggested it to us as the Spark Plug Award, meaning it sparked your interest and it fired something in your mind. And so anyone who has filled a role in that meeting can qualify or be eligible for a Sparky Award. But as I said, it was originally called the Spark Plug Award. Well, then one very endearing long-term member accidentally called it a Sparky, and it stuck. We all liked it.
Yeah.
So now it's the Sparky.
So anyone who speaks anything during the meeting is eligible to be voted on.
Right.
And often there's a whole array of votes, and sometimes the guest wins.
Right, right.
And so that's pretty amazing to me. Now, I this is the last time I'm going to ask, but I know there's some Toasties out there listening. And Jeff, who is not shy, thankfully called in. But if you're a little shy, think of this as an opportunity. You may not have too many opportunities to get out on the air. So we won't keep you long. We won't make this hard. We don't have a time card, and we don't do counting. Well, we'll get to that. So please give us a call, 707-755-9250. We've got 20 minutes left in the show, but don't wait to the ending, because then you step on what I want to say. So, Renee, do you have another table topic for me?
Let's see. Table topic for what's your favorite role to fill in a meeting?
I have a couple favorite, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
when I don't have a role, what I like is that then I have a better chance of getting up there for table topics, because the people who have roles would be the last ones called on if there's time. Mm-hmm. You know, so I love the actual, that's not a role, but so I also like table topics master. We're coming up with the questions to ask people, given the theme. I like being a Toastmaster, putting out a theme and, you know, looking forward to being an MC with bringing energy at the beginning of the meeting and closing it out with some, I don't know, inspiration, hopefully. Yeah. And then there's another thing we do at the right after the president announces who the Toastmaster is. They come up, say something about the theme, and then they introduce a person who's going to give a moment of inspiration or humor. And I'm drawn right to that. I did that last meeting 2 weeks ago, and it related to the same thing I was talking about on the show here on Cows, about that we hold to things and spring is here and look at what spring is an opportunity for in us. And for some reason, I got signed up again for this week. Normally, you don't take the same job 2 weeks in a row, but I can assure folks that was someone that had to be put in there, and our vice president of education does that. And so I accepted that. So I do like that role a lot too, because I feel a responsibility to bring energy to the crowd. And these are skills I'm trying to develop. And is there a better way to develop these skills than to exercise them?
Yeah, that's a good role, because it's like a mini speech. You don't have as much time. And you get inspired by whatever the theme of the meeting is that the Toastmaster gave. So when I have to do a speech, yes, I said have to do a speech. I sometimes, like, I know my next project for a speech, I need to give a speech, and I can't think of the topic. So having the Toastmaster say, this is the theme, kind of tickles my brain and helps me think of something.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It adds to, I think, the audience experience, because right. I actually enjoy Toastmasters as kind of a performance by a lot of different people. I wanted to say one thing about table topics. Sometimes I'm talking to someone who's still a little nervous about being called and how they say it. One image I try to keep in mind is I watch this on TV news all the time. Politicians get asked a tough question. What do? They pivot.
Right.
And we can learn from those pivots that's okay until, as long as there's some sort of rational connection.
Right.
You know, people will enjoy that just fine. So sometimes they say, what do you like about? And I'm thinking, I don't like anything about that. So then I will be on the spot and say something like, well, let me tell you what I don't like about it. And,
right.
and that feels okay. So you don't have to be so narrowly trapped by the question. So
right.
watch TV news and see how the pros do it.
Yeah, and it's a good skill to learn. That
yes.
if you're posed with a question and you really don't have an answer, to learn how to pivot and make it still feel like you are addressing the question somehow.
I did ask you earlier about misconceptions about Toastmasters. One that I held for the longest time, because I had known about Toastmasters just vaguely mm-hmm. as a place you go to practice speaking. And I always envisioned like what we do at a family gathering, like Thanksgiving or a big dinner or a birthday, where I will stand up and I will toast the birthday person or the anniversary or begin a round of giving thanks. Or I always felt that that's what a Toastmaster was, giving a toast. But that is one version of it. And if you can have what you learn at a Toastmaster session help you in business, help you in relationships, help you in family gatherings.
Yeah.
Those are all positive steps.
Well, okay, I said we would probably talk about the educational program,
okay.
right? So you just reminded me, you thought of Toastmasters as a place where you learn to give a toast.
Yes.
In the educational program, which is called Pathways, there is a project to deliver a toast. And so when my sister got married and I had a role in her wedding, oh my gosh, now I need to do a toast. So I was able to read the information about what a toast should include or should not include. And with the new Pathways program, I say new because Toastmasters is, what, 100 years old? And it used to all be on paper. Now it's online. But with Pathways, I was able to watch an example of a toast.
Yeah.
I also, other things happen in our lives. I was in a position to need to do a eulogy. There's a project in Toastmasters that teaches you about doing a eulogy.
Oh, very nice. I didn't know that, but that's excellent. Yeah, there's so much. There's different tracks you can sign up for, and then there's five levels at each track. I'm overwhelmed by it, but I went along a couple of those tracks, but mostly I've been winging it since then. But I feel like I'm on my own track, which is not unusual for me.
Well, there's usually a way to find a way to have the speech that you want to give because it's in your heart,
right?
And make it count in the educational program.
Right, right. Yeah. I wanted to go outside of Toastmasters into that other image of when you're in a family situation. Much humor is done about this, and I've seen it in action, and that's the best man at a wedding. Often is awful.
Yeah.
And I would suggest that if you're young and you're not sure that you have to give speeches because your job doesn't call for it, there may be a time that a friend of yours asks you to be best man. And you can either, you know, just blurt something out or try to have some humor. But it really helps if you do what Renee did, is seek out what a good structure is. Do a little preparation and practice. It isn't like what you would say in the bar after a few drinks.
Right. And there's a real life story. We have someone who joined because his brother was getting married and he knew he was going to have to give a speech. So he joined for that purpose, to learn how to give a speech at his brother's wedding. Then his brother got married. He stopped coming to Toastmasters. And without the two brothers speaking to each other, the brother who had just gotten married joined the club after his brother had left the club. And then we've had a picture of the whole group. And ironically, the two brothers stood in the same place that the other brother did. So, so we've got a real life story where someone joined because he knew that he was going to have to give a best man speech.
Have you personally ever had a time where before Toastmasters and before the experience, you felt like later on, oh, I should have said so? I bet a lot of people have that. I used to have that, the notion of, I wish I had said that at the moment, because there's like a moment where something is ripe for saying. And then if you think about it later, bringing it up again, that doesn't really work. So the preparation, like with table topics, like that impromptu, it's like improv in a way. It's letting down your guard. And so one of the expressions I like, it's the one area in table topics where you talk before you think. It's not only acceptable, it's encouraged. Because if you think too much, you tend to censor yourself. You tend to limit yourself. You know, so we will take a moment often to think and contemplate. But I know that I have to latch onto a story pretty quickly, because if I start rejecting and editing all my stories, and that's a skill I think I've really got to practice at Toastmasters. I never thought of myself as a storyteller. I'm a science guy. I like talking about facts. I was political. I still am, I guess. By the way, I want to say about political, I like using the word partisanship. When people say we're not political, we're not partisan. We're not bickering back and forth along a political divide. But in the sense of how the Greeks used the term of how people organize themselves and agree on what's good for everyone, that the polis, the people, that politics is ubiquitous, and it's in everyday life. Even though almost every club I join says we don't do politics, it's where do you draw that line? It's almost impossible. I agree with people have buttons that are based on parties, that are based on, you know, beliefs they have adopted or that they follow, and that can get ugly. And as you say, there's a better way to deal with that. And I think so the philosophical kind of politics of how we people want to make sure we don't go extinct, that's politics to me, and it's endearing to me. Again, it's something people don't want to talk about, but I feel I can talk about on this show. And I use different shows for different aspects of groups and organizations and things that are local that can help us locally. And I'm glad that the Petaluma Club doesn't use the Zoom or do a hybrid. A couple other clubs, I've seen that used. That drains a lot of energy to make it inclusive for the people that are joining by Zoom. And it takes away from the actual experience of person to person. And so I very much believe in the future of person to person. I believe in finding your voice. What is it that you're thinking that you would like to share with other people? And then start speaking up. Find your voice, find your confidence. And if you need help in that process, I can't think of a better organization than Toastmasters. So why do you keep coming back? What's in it for you now?
Oh, I feel like it's a place. It's a community, actually. I remember hearing that people live longer who are affiliated with a church. And that's an interesting idea to me. And when I think about it some more, I think it's that, okay, maybe they're living longer because they have a spiritual belief and they feel connected to the people in the church. But I think a big part of it is that it's a community.
Yes.
And so Toastmasters and my club is a community for me. And the thing about that community that I love is I meet people I would not otherwise meet. That's healthy for me. I get that variety. The people who are in the club who have joined, they've joined because they want to learn something. Or like Jeff said, there's a variety of ways. There's even people who join because it's a guaranteed audience. And that was the end of his types of people. But it's people that not only want to learn, they also join in the experience of helping others learn. So I like that it's both.
Yes.
People who are interested in improving themselves and people who are interested in helping others improve themselves.
And it's focused on a very essential part of our being, because we are herd animals. We're community by nature, and we communicate through words. We can keep it to texts on our phones, but I prefer that we actually talk to each other. I mean, I think a sad moment is when you see four people around a table in a restaurant and they're all on their phones.
Right.
They have an opportunity to gather over a meal and they're not looking each other in the eye and they're not having that conversation. And I fear that we're losing that skill in young people, especially because of the technology that is so seductive,
yeah,
that has so taken over.
Yeah. I want to actually, there you were saying about the club, Toast of Petaluma, is in person only. There's no hybrid or Zoom,
right,
aspect. But during the pandemic, we did do that. We went,
yes,
completely on Zoom like any other club that survived. And then we tried out hybrid. But what I want to say about that is, especially in the corporate world, the budget for travel has been reduced. And so what I learned during the pandemic and during our time while there was a hybrid meeting and a Zoom meeting was how to communicate online, and learning one really effective thing that is not intuitive. And that is, if I want my audience to feel like I'm connecting with them on Zoom, I need to look at the camera and not follow my instinct of looking at the people on my screen.
Right, right.
So, I mean, and there's a lot of other skills I learned
yeah.
by having the meetings online.
I'm totally with you. And I didn't mean to demean it. But there's actually clubs that are only online.
Right.
And so they sometimes have a special focus. So there's a whole variety of clubs available to people. I want to stress this. There are several in Marin. There's several in Sonoma County. And I think I mentioned Club 182 has been around for forever. They meet every Monday. Yeah. And it's very effective in getting lots of time to stand in front of people. And there's a smaller group downtown that meets at noon every other week. Those are only ones I know about, but I've also gone up. I think there's one in Windsor, or at least at the North Santa Rosa. And they're the online ones. If you just Google Toastmasters, you can see what clubs are around. Yeah. So we are talking about one that we're both connected with right now. But your circumstances might be such that there are closer clubs or there's more focused clubs. And I like that. I like that they have grown different solutions mm-hmm. for different situations.
Right, right. So Toastmasters.org is where you go to find a club that you want.
Yeah.
Toastmasters.org, plural, Toastmasters.org.
Very good.
And then for the club that you and I, Bernie, are in is toastofpetaluma.org. So it's all one word, toastofpetaluma.org.
I go there so often, I only have to enter the T-O.
Yeah.
It already knows. Oh, Toast of Petaluma, yeah.
Yep.
So there is the public-facing site, and then it's also the intra-organization. Once you become a member, you're on the inside to see the agendas. And so it has this nice feature where the roles of each agenda are out there. And if they're available, you're encouraged to click on it and say, I'll fill that role for that meeting.
Right.
And if you don't fill one, our vice president will assign one to you. And I mean, you can always decline. But I want to emphasize that again. The opportunities for learning leadership skills are another level above learning how to have a voice and feeling confident to step in and speak it. And having the community feel safe is great, so that if you are thinking of getting a promotion or want to get a promotion, why not accept that role at Toastmasters? And you're more likely to actually develop the skills that people will see in the position that you're at, that maybe that's right for you. Maybe I'm dreaming here. But anyway, I have to start winding down the show. And I want to thank you, Renee, so much for coming on with us and being so helpful in explaining what this is all about.
Thank you. It's been fun.
Great. And I want to thank the listeners. And then I want to thank our designated caller, Jeff, has been very reliable. And I appreciate that not too many people are ready to put their voice on the air, but maybe in time. I'm never going to give up on that. So I do want to just say that voice does shape confidence, and confidence does lead to action. And action shapes community. And that's the community that Renee was talking about, that we are the Toastmasters Community Club, who support each other and look forward to a meeting. And we go to Applebee's afterwards, and we have special events and stuff. But there's also the community that you go out with that skill on, to your work, to right. your social groups. So in incredible benefits that go well beyond, and it's wrapped up in leadership. So you get to practice as much leadership as you want. So with that, I'm going to say goodbye and see you in 2 weeks.
Now you're wild as electric wires, glass teeth and a windy smile.
Thank you.